Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
And that was a fun week, but we're not done. Ladies and gentlemen, featured on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Comedy Central. On Comedy Central Records, his album is Wild Country Phoenix. Co-host of the podcast, The Good, The Dad, and The Ugly, Casey James McGinnis.
What an honor it is. Thank you. You had to check my middle name, but you got the last name right. Yes.
I'm like, what was I trying to do? It was very clever.
I'm taking Courtney's last name. I'm upgrading from Polish to Irish, from the worst to the second worst type of white people.
Casey James Salengo. This is very exciting. You're getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the man doesn't wear an engagement ring, right?
It's no.
Just the woman, because men, they don't understand how to take no from women, but we do respect dibs. When you put your mark on her, that means no, guys.
No, guys.
I say so.
Mm-hmm. I marked her up real good. I'll good tell you what.
No, is anything different? They say, now you didn't get married yet, but is anything changing? You have to have more responsibility. Yeah, you have to be less goofy. Anything happening yet?
I mean, you could tell by his shirt he's not being less goofy.
Yeah, this is a fun shirt. I'm still trying to have fun out here. Right. What did it change? She couldn't get mad at me for like 2 weeks, so that was nice. But that I pointed that out to her, and so it switched pretty fast.
It's kind of like, right, when you get a surprise proposal, right? Uh-huh. There's a lot of pressure because she says she doesn't want it in public, but you know better.
I know.
And you, of course, got it right, but like 9/11, the goodwill ends fast, doesn't it?
Like 9/11? Mm-hmm. You're comparing my engagement to 9/11.
I'm just saying, in New York, everybody was friends for a good 8-9 days, and now it's, you know, everybody's themselves.
You gotta forgive Keith, because he's been divorced, so.
Yeah, so it compares.
We now compare it to 9/11, yeah.
It was an inside job. George Bush set it up. But it was good, so she was happy with me for a little bit.
Okay.
And everything is great, but then the wedding planning started, so there's been a little bit of stress, but you know, we're going back and forth and what kind of situation we're gonna have, like an elopement maybe, and some parties or like a big wedding. But
now how does back and forth work? You say something, she says something, and then it's that
thing. No, she says something and then I go, yep, and then she said something else. I'm like, that sounds good. And then she says another thing. And then her mom says something, and I'm like, all right, whatever everybody likes.
Then they fight it out, and then there's the answer. Let's fun back and forth.
Uh-huh. And I'm just in the middle.
Do you have an idea? Like, a lot of people say that guys don't even think about it, but at this point, are you not thinking about it? Like, it's a party that you're spending money on. Mm-hmm. You don't have like a concept.
Well, I don't really know. I just really want her to be happy, and she plans it out.
Did she tell you to say that?
No, she didn't. She didn't tell me to say that. I don't really. I mean, I feel like it is her day more, and I want. There's certain things. We've been to a lot of weddings. We've been to about 1,500 weddings the past 2 years because she's never let go of a friend in her life. I've cast everyone aside. As soon as we moved to New York, I'm like, I'm never talking to you motherfuckers again.
So she's loyal.
She's loyal, okay. Not me. So there's stuff that I'd say, I'm like, that would be nice. Like, you know, of course, just like the vows and stuff, the first dances, the cake cutting, things like that seem cool. But, you know, whatever happens, it's fine. I'm also very poor, so clearly I'm not putting a lot of money in, so I don't really get a lot of say. And my family's very poor. My dad can probably, you know, sell some more weed to give us some money, but I think the game is passing by.
Who's paying? Her father?
I think it's a lot. It's mostly coming from her family. I'm trying to ask as few questions as I can.
Well, that's what happened to my wedding. Her father paid for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's when you can pretend you're traditional. Like, well, of course.
Yes. Well, of course the father pays for the
I had to call him and pretend I asked for permission. So now he gets to do his fun thing.
That's nice. Did you really do that?
Yeah.
I did that too.
Which is always funny. What's he going to say? How did that happen when you called
him? I called him up. And
do you guys talk normally as is?
We don't talk normally at all. No. Yeah. I mean, we talk when I'm there. Right.
We talk when I'm there.
Just to be I don't clear. Just like not talk to him at all. If I'm at his house, I'll speak with him.
It's not our thing.
It's like we're not calling. I don't talk to my own dad on the phone. I'm not just calling older men on the phone for chats. That doesn't really happen.
Well, I called the dad, but I call him at work. He's a doctor, so I'm catching him between probably serious business. But I'm like, hey, we never talk. I just want to call you now. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, but what's wrong? Nothing.
Yeah.
Everybody's safe and sound. Mm-hmm. Do you have a second? Do I have a second? What?
Like, clearly this is about my daughter. Get to it.
Right.
You giant man.
Right. And I'm like, how about you just say yes, because we're going to do it anyway. Let's all be friends.
Yeah. I called him up and he was like, hey, what's going on? And I was like, you know, much. And I was like, I just want to ask you, you know, like, married daughter? And he goes, well, all right, well. He's like, you gonna take care of her? I was like, sure. He goes, well, hell yeah, all right.
Okay. Do you both mumble like that?
Yeah, we both mumble. Nobody was really understanding what was happening. I'm not sure we both understood the transaction when we hung up the phone.
He's having your daughter. Yeah, that sounds good. Hey, yeah. Right on.
That's what it's like, yeah. All dad, my talk with my dad on the phone, he's like, here's Applebee's, Riblets. Edelman's hurt. So that's gonna, right. And I'm like, all right, well, good talking to you.
Something about football and Applebee's, and I don't think you bought a chain. So I guess I'm glad you enjoyed Applebee's.
Yeah, yeah, he loves Applebee's.
Do you ease up on your accent? Like, do you, I'm not going to call it code switching for you, but has your accent changed since you've been in New York?
No, well, I don't have that much of an accent.
LOL.
I don't know. I've got a little bit of an accent, and it's not like...
This is
like
the most you've articulated.
Now that you pointed out to me, I'm trying to articulate. I've just been a big mumbly idiot my whole life. And it's weird because where I come from, there's an accent like Vermont, upstate New York. It's like, how you doing there, bud? What are you going to like? Come out and light some fireworks, bud. It's a Canadian Southern just trash mix, just a big barrel of Canadian Southern trash. So, but I just mumble a lot, and I try my best to articulate, but I think my tongue's too big for my mouth. And my teeth are too small, and my brain doesn't work right. So I've tried my best. I've been on stage before, and I hear people like saying, like, what was that? And I've had people come to me after a set and be like, man, you're funny. I didn't understand a word you said, but you're funny.
I like the presentation.
Yeah, that's
presentation,
why,
A+.
That's why I just make faces and move around, because it's like, you can tell I'm doing something funny. I don't really need to hear what I'm saying.
Content, I really couldn't tell you. But that was a 10 out of 10 stage presence for sure.
Yeah, so whatever. It's cool.
I love the tone. When you're with Courtney and you guys get into a fight, I picture the mumbling comes out, or the sheepish boy stuff comes
out.
Yeah,
she noticed. We were arguing last night, and she's like, she kept pointing out ticks that she's noticed. She's like, when you're lying, you blink a lot. I'm like, no, I don't. So I'm just sitting there, and then she was saying something. I started rubbing my eye. She's like, why are you rubbing your eye? I'm like, I don't know. Please stop looking. I was like, stop. Well, let's argue from different rooms, because I don't want you reading my body language, you fucking mind hunter.
Did during an argument it ever come up? Maybe we're not ready to get married. Did somebody say that?
I don't think so.
He's trying to think if he said it out loud.
Did I say it or did I think it? No, I don't know. I don't think either of us said it. She's wanted to like take the ring off and dramatically throw it, but we haven't gotten to that point yet.
She's just looking forward to when she does.
Just like one, very dramatic moment.
Whose
like
ring?
Lucci.
It was a grandma's ring.
It was a grandma's ring, uh-huh.
Well, so she's not going to throw that.
She's not going to throw a grandma's ring. That's why. So I had to call her mom first to ask for the grandma's ring,
right,
and then call her dad.
What was her mom's response?
She was very happy. I think they all saw it coming. It was very clear. Courtney talked about it literally every day. So
no, it's going to happen, family. Yeah, so they're not surprised.
She really forced it. So it's great. No, but I wanted to do it too. So
thank you for clarifying.
They're very happy. They're very happy.
But and, you did want to do it too, right?
I did want to do it. Okay. I was very excited. Right. I'm very excited.
Casey's tweets I follow, of course, Casey J. Selengo. And he writes,
Jesus Christ. I always write my tweets and I'm like, well, at least no one will bring this up to me in public. And then I'm like, fuck, I forgot what this podcast is.
I like how everybody thinks I ransacked your house and found your diary.
It does feel like that.
That's so funny. When I was on The Good, The Dad, and The Ugly, they were like, yeah, you guys sneak attack with them. Like, I go, we read your tweets.
That's private stuff, man.
I picture almost like a fight between him and Courtney. Like, I see what you're doing. You're taking my actions and bringing them up.
It's not right. That's private.
You ever bomb so many shows in a row, he writes, you start to earnestly question if you angered a witch.
Yeah, yeah. I had a bad string for like 2 weeks. I'm like,
you should stop enunciating.
By like the third, I didn't know if that was the problem. I was like, can people hear me? I don't know what's happening. By like the fourth show, I'm like, I don't know what is happening. I'm like, is there something on my face? Like, is there... I'm like, geez, I was like, I can't bomb this many shows in a row. You just go through like bad streaks. And I think I was coming off a hot streak for a while where I was just like, felt untouchable. And then that is always, every time that's happening, I'm like, this is going to end soon. So enjoy it. And then like, I just had like six shows in a row where I was just eating a dick and I couldn't figure out why.
Do you start questioning, are these jokes funny? Should I change them? Do you change them a little from show to show when that happens?
I change them a little. I just start questioning, like, am I funny? Is there something like inherently hateable about my face? Should I shave my head?
Is there something in the news we can't say and I don't know it?
Yeah, no.
And now I'm just being offensive.
Yeah, I was like, is there like a rumor out there about me that everybody knows that I don't? Like, I don't know. I just start questioning every single thing and I'm like, fuck, what happened?
Is there a booze level where like you're better on booze or off booze on stage?
I'm usually good at like one or two beers. That's pretty good. No booze is fine. You know, too many booze has been good and bad. You know, it's, you never
that's
really
good
know.
Math.
Yeah. It can be. I've had shows where I've been drunk where it's been fantastic, and ones where I'm just like sweaty and more mumbly than usual.
You ever do that? You're drunk. The show goes fine somehow, despite yourself.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you fucked up, universe.
Yeah. I'm like, you didn't get me this time, you son of a bitch.
I just, you didn't teach me anything.
Yeah.
Casey wrote, sometimes I put on a very fun shirt. You have a Hawaiian shirt on now. Mm-hmm. A very fun shirt in the morning, but gets severely depressed during the day. And I feel like I'm lying to everyone.
This is literally the shirt I was wearing when I wore that, or when I wrote that tweet. Because I'm like, I'm feeling pretty good. And then I walk out, I'm just feeling dead. And then I'm like, I look like a big party animal, but I'm like, I'm so sad inside.
It's like a nice shirt. And he goes, yeah, but not really.
Yeah. It takes a lot of confidence to, it feels like it's one of those dumb like stock lines whenever I'm wearing a fun shirt. I'm like, I just spent most of my day slowly losing confidence in my shirt. Because you start the day off, you're like, this is great. And then I walk past a window. I'm like, what the fuck was that thing?
It's almost like a number one dad shirt. And you keep looking at it throughout the day. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm
There's
not.
There's no way bad. I'm not. I'm not top 10.
Jesus, no.
What do you do when you're sad, when you get like the bummers?
I don't know. I sit around a lot. I stare at the ceiling.
So really dealing with it.
Yeah, I don't really know how to deal with it. I just kind of tell myself it'll pass. I feel like it goes in like waves, and I don't really know. Sometimes it'll just be like a high thing and a low thing. It might be mild bipolarity, who knows, but I just kind of wait for it to pass and
that's
hope
funny,
things will get better.
I feel like guys, when they have a feeling, they're like, I'm bipolar.
Well, my dad's bipolar, my brother's bipolar, so it's not just a man thing. And, every guy thinks they're bipolar. No, my whole fucking family is.
Every man is.
Every man in my family is.
Well, this my boyfriend is now learning, because he calls it the feelings parade, is what I'm always on. So people are like, oh, dating time, they're like, that's a lot of like, you know, talking things out. And he goes, did you know there's more than two feelings?
Yeah, it's tough. It's
I look at it like the color wheel, right? Yes, there's three main emotions. Mm-hmm. Then there's very that and less that.
Yes. I agree. What are those? Happy, sad, horny? Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot or less.
Yeah. I'm sad and horny today.
Someone told me recently, he writes, that I seem like I've had a lot of STDs, and I don't think it was a compliment, but boy, did I take it as one. Mm-hmm.
That's true. I've never had one, but that means people think I fuck a lot, so that's pretty cool, and I seem very unsafe about it.
which equals fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, dude.
If there's a slight lull in a conversation, no matter what time of day, I hit it with, well, it's getting late. Meanwhile, they're like, oh, should we go? No, it's a twitch I have. And if you have more conversation, I can have more conversation. But it seemed we both decided to swallow at the same time. So it's getting late.
I do that a lot. Actually, you had recent guest Will Cope. We went to a wedding. It was me, him, and his boyfriend. Courtney left for a minute. And like, we smoked a little weed. And whenever I smoke weed, I get so paranoid that I'm like reading vibes from people that I don't know if they're there or not. Right. So like, there'd just be a second round of talk. And I was like, well, it's getting late. And he's like, you said that twice now. I'm like, yeah. They're like, you want to go to bed? I'm like, I don't know. Do you guys want to go to bed?
You must be bipolar.
Yeah. I just get nervous.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Does it, when you see celebrities getting divorces, does it, I just say that because it'll make the news, does that make you worry about marriage at all?
I guess a little bit. I feel like being a celebrity, being married is a lot harder. They're naturally narcissistic people. They're
your girlfriend has a podcast called The Narcissistas.
I know, that's troubling as well. I mean, it is scary, but I mean, whatever. You get divorced.
That's the spirit.
But I don't think it'll happen. But,
that's
that
manic part talk.
Yeah.
It's 2019. If we break up, what happens?
I think we break up. Yeah. So I don't believe we'll get divorced, but it is, you know, it just happens.
Right.
It's a natural.
But still, buy us a toaster.
Yeah, I really wanted to. I haven't had toast in years. That's the only reason I did it.
Larry King, of course, he filed for a divorce some time ago.
He has such balls.
What the hell?
80-something easily. How old is he? 80-something easily. And
she was like, I thought you'd die.
I know, it's crazy.
I got my life to live. I got to go out there. My boy's single.
He really thinks he can do better. That's wild. Yeah. He's got fucking confidence.
Divorced from his seventh wife. He married her twice.
The sanctity of marriage.
That's wild.
But I was surprised to learn 22 years of marriage. So that's up there for him.
That is.
He
got married in the young age of 61.
Jesus Christ.
She identifies as an actress, Sean King.
She identifies as an actress.
I woke up to a phone call from a reporter. And the reporter said, "Hi, Sean. I'm sorry about the divorce filing. Would you like to comment?" I was crushed. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Wow.
Larry.
Wow.
Jeez, man, you had to sleep next to that old scarecrow for 20 years.
Wow.
And then you have to divorce over the phone? Holy shit.
The Kings wed in a hospital room in 1997.
I hate that we call them the Kings.
Yeah. Right?
Just 3 days before the Larry King, now host, had surgery to clear a clogged blood vessel.
Oh, she was with him from that. You fuck.
Yeah,
you
and then dumbass. Guess what? He's walking around okay now. Bye.
Jeez Louise. I mean, that is shocking. Right? A lot of people get married because they don't want to die alone. This guy is dead set right. on dying alone.
He's 85.
I'm looking at pictures, and she's just, you know, one of those people who really take care of herself, mm-hmm. and he's just this little fucking, ugh.
Yeah. He's like heads in the middle of his chest. It's disgusting. It's disgusting, man.
This is the perfect way to describe yeah. him. She's like, "I still give a fuck." He's like, "I don't have to."
That's wild.
Here's another Casey tweet. Talk to my therapist about how taking naps makes me sad. Mm. So I guess next week we'll discuss my feelings about going pee-pee on the pot. Mm. I'm a fucking date.
I'm a little baby. Yep.
I thought you graduated therapy.
No. We graduated couples therapy. Okay. Now I'm still in singles therapy. Right. It's very sexy. Singles therapy.
Do you say like, "Oh, we're done here," and she like pushes you back into the billing? No.
Yeah, no.
You're not done.
It sucks so bad. I usually go late because I feel like half an hour is like the most time I can do it. And I accidentally showed up on time. So like, I was like, "Oh, fuck, I made a mistake." So then I was like, I ran out of material. So like 15 minutes, I'm like, "I don't know.
Material.
Have you seen, do you watch movies?" I'm like, "What the hell do I talk about now?" I had nothing left. But like, yeah, taking naps. Whenever I take a nap, I wake up. That's some weird thing with sleep. Even when I wake up in the morning, my whole life, it's like I'm terribly depressed for like an hour and I just have to fight out of it. Wow. I don't know why. So then when I take a nap.
Because you have to deal with the day?
I don't know what it is. And then like, so taking a nap, it usually sneaks up on me by accident. So if I wake up, I'm just like fucked up for a long time. So,
is it a feeling of failure? And the only time you're allowed to feel that is when it sneaks up on you before you wake up?
Yeah, that might be it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good. You're better than my therapist.
My therapist lets me talk about movies. Yeah. And it doesn't.
No, it feels like when I wake up, I've got like every like negative thought in my head is like fighting to be like, "Wait, I'm the first one. Wait, they're all like fighting." It's like Black Friday in there. Everyone's trying to get in. And then I have to like just get a coffee. He's in. And then I'm like, and then I can stuff it all down. And,
I'm picturing like an animation and like all these things are running in your head. And then a giant bucket of coffee washes everybody away.
And they're all gone. I'm like, all right.
And then there's you going, "Here I am, ready for today."
Ready for today. That's a pretty good impression.
Thank you.
Good job.
It's a pretty good impression.
You guys are fucking awesome. You're like Jeff Dunham. This is rad.
We go, "Who can we do?" And then we have those people on as guests. Speaking about a messed up brain, I happen to see on Twitter, some of these people, I'm like, I don't follow Aaron Carter, but he pops up on my Twitter feed. So my brother just got a restraining order against me, and I was just served. LOL. And I'm like, you had me at LOL.
Mm-hmm.
So I make sure I read up on everything. So you have the Carters. Nick Carter is the one from Backstreet Boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Carter is also a singer.
He's his brother, and at the age of like 10, he blew up.
Yeah.
Okay. "Take care," says Aaron Carter. "At Nick Carter, we're done for life." And you know manic people. This is one after another. So, you know, I didn't go to school for it, but something's up. "I haven't seen him in 4 years, and I don't intend to." And then Nick puts out a public statement saying, "After careful consideration, my sister Angel and I regret that we were required to seek a restraining order against our brother Aaron today."
Oh, that sucks. Didn't they also have a reality show together or something?
House of Carters, I believe.
Ugh.
"In light of Aaron's increasingly alarming behavior and his recent confession that he harbors thoughts and intentions of killing my pregnant wife and unborn child."
That's tough.
"And in addition, we were left with no choice but to take every measure possible to protect ourselves and our family." So we're going to try to get him riled up on social media.
Oh, my God.
"We love our brother and truly hope he gets the proper treatment he needs before any harm comes to him or anyone else. Hashtag mental health. Hashtag gun control now. Hashtag gun control."
Fuck.
So he's implying that his brother is going to get a gun because that's what crazy people do.
He's inherited. I read more about the story that their father died, so he was set to inherit like 70 guns. Aaron was.
I thought you were going to say money.
No, right. No. Just a shit ton of guns. So that's why.
Bad timing.
Yeah. And as I said, my brother's manic, so I'm used to it. He called me up after the engagement, and he's like, I was like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm just at the mall getting Crocs. And I'm like, oh, just giving up. I was like, what the hell you mean? And I'm like, no, I'm just joking. He goes, anyway, but to get serious, if you guys want my sperm, you can have it. I was like, all right, well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I could also fuck her and not give sperm.
I know. I don't need to come. So, yeah, I get what it's like.
I don't need to come. You're my brother. I could just get it moist.
Wait, your brother and your father has it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are any of them medicated?
My dad's medicated. He had to be. My brother, I think, went off his meds. When he starts to post on Facebook a lot, I'm like, oh, boy, this is not good.
Yeah, it's one after the other.
It's like constant Facebook post. I'm like, oh, this isn't good.
They're arguing with nobody.
Absolutely.
Why did your dad have to be on the med?
Well, he kept getting in fights with cops, and he kept, they've had to land. He was on a plane one time. They had to land because he was getting rowdy. One time he was on a train, any public transit, you know. He thought he saw a buffalo, and so he loves buffalo for some reason. So he's trying to jump off the train, and, you know, they said you can't do that.
To
see the buffalo. So then they were trying to attack, so he beat up cops there. That was in Nevada, so we had to get him out. But he'll just get really wild.
And he's never spent time in jail?
Oh, he spent a lot of time in jail. Okay. Yeah, no. He was in jail when I was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how has he been in and out your whole life?
No. That was the last time he was in jail in Nevada. A lot of it happened before I was born. I found my mom had this old Bible that her dad gave her when he died when she was like 17. And he was going to jail, and it was when she was pregnant with me, and I had a note. It's like, it looks like I gotta go away for a while. And he's like, if the baby's a boy, name him Ricky after my favorite singer, Ricky Nelson. And my mom's like, I'm not fucking naming him Ricky. She's like, I never heard of listening to Ricky Nelson once in my fucking life. He's like, I'm not fucking Ricky. So my dad was in jail when I was born, but then he got out. So he hasn't been in prison besides that short stint.
Were you taken as a baby to jail to visit?
I don't believe so. No, I think they got divorced while I was in jail while my mom was pregnant with me. Mm. Yeah. So I did not see him until
later. Did she ask you to tell him your name was Ricky?
Yeah, for a few years. Easier. Until I was 10, I just said I was Ricky.
How's he doing now?
He's doing great. He's been on his medicine for a while. I think he seems to be doing well.
Does he ever talk about that? Because I imagine he'd be like that generation and male, and he'd be like very against taking meds, like I'm not crazy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, he doesn't talk about it too much. He's not a very emotional guy. He's also on a lot of lithium, so who knows how that plays into it. But I think that's why he wasn't diagnosed when he was younger, because like nobody wanted to think he had a mental issue.
Right.
And then once he started getting crazier, my mom was like, oh, he's got a problem. So then they finally got him on meds.
And how'd you discover your brother had it?
He just, I think a few years ago, he went to a mental hospital for a little bit, and they found out that's what. But you could see, like, he would have ups and downs.
He started cutting holes in all his shoes, and we're like, something's up.
Yeah, no, he just get real weird, and you could tell when he's like really manic and like really depressive. So, but I think it's hard for people with that to like take the medicine, because like when you're manic, I've seen both of them manic, and like I felt it a little bit myself, and you just feel like fucking invincible, and you feel like on top of the world. So like having someone, and then you know what it's like to be depressive. So it's like if somebody wants to give you medicine to like take you down from that, you can imagine how like you would not want that.
Yeah, I when Keith and I first met, he was convinced I had manic depression.
Interesting.
Right? You used to like tell me, he's like, are you sure you don't have?
we should all look up everything.
Just checking in. Sure.
And I definitely used to have like I.
Well,
I,
she had more on the color wheel.
Yeah, that's really.
I definitely have felt like the lows where it's like everything's just dark. I can't get out of this space, and the more I think about it, the more I go deeper into the darkness, which that can't be how it works. And then I would be like, "Fuck it, everything's great. I'm now running. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm like, everything's fantastic. I don't know how I was ever depressed. Life is so good."
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I wouldn't get that I'm a god or like the extreme version of it. Like, so when he said that, I'm just like, I get why you would say that, because I have more emotion than you and I react bigger, but I can't tell if that was a mental something or because I don't get those anymore.
Yeah,
but I've worked a lot out, a lot, but not with medication. So I wonder if it's just trying to work out your life and the highs are high and lows are low, or I figured something out. I don't know.
I don't know. So you don't experience that it's pretty steady now?
I can stop it. Like, I have more tools and I have more perspective. And so I can now, when it starts going dark, like, I recently went through a lot, like, in the last couple of years and I'm like, oh, usually I think I want to kill myself. Like, usually I've had this thought and I should have this thought by now. And I'm like, oh, this is very good. I'm like, and I say that to people like it's normal. I'm like, well, I haven't thought about killing myself, so I don't think it's that bad. And they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, usually I think about killing myself if it gets as bad.
And people don't think that's normal?
Right?
People don't think about killing themselves all the time? That's crazy.
The people that think, that's I'm going to go off the pills, or I'm not going to take the pills because they ruin my personality. It's like, no one likes your personality.
Yeah, no one likes your personality.
That's why we're having this conversation.
We're going to wrap that up. Let's tighten it up.
So do you think you have it, and have you been diagnosed?
No, I think I've got mild something, because I can tell when I'm just like depressed. And it seems like for no reason, but it could be for, but I think I could, you know, with more therapy and just working stuff out, I can. But there's times when I'm just like up there and like nothing. Like I said, when I was like, when I'm doing great at shows, like a bunch in a row, I'm like, oh, I can like, I just feel like invincible. And then like the lows of like bombing shows, but that could be, I put too much emotional weight into comedy already, so I can't really tell if it's from that or whatever.
How do you know? It's like, well, everyone is clapping at everything I say. I am on stage with a mic. I kind of am speaking like I'm Jesus Christ himself.
So it's very difficult. I definitely don't have it like an extreme, but it might be.
Have you heard of Scitheromania?
Anything that has mania in it is too much.
It's less severe bipolar.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, maybe something like that.
Right, cool. I don't know. Bring that to your next time you have nothing.
I'll bring it to therapy. She doesn't know shit. She don't know. I've brought up stuff to her. That I'm like, I brought up like Freudian ideas. She's like, I didn't know that. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, do you work here? I can't tell what the fuck is happening.
You just written down something about having sex with your mom. She doesn't know.
I don't know about that. People have sex with their moms? Very cool.
Aaron Carter continues, I'm better than this and I'm going to succeed. I don't need to come from a place of retaliation or revenge or hurt. You cannot lead with revenge in your heart. By the way, these manic people, as they're a mess, they always love to give the world lessons, right? You cannot lead with revenge in your heart. I just need to get away from this. I don't want anything to do with him and I'm working on me. I love you guys. Thank you for your support. And Nick, please stay away from me and Angel. I will be okay. I will get my life back. XOXO.
Way to get him, Aaron.
So by the way, Nick's a big fucking dick also. It's not like Aaron is. Aaron was just the kid brother actually looking up to this guy, Nick. Nick was just a big piece of shit because he had been like in the limelight for a long time, but also used up, you know, while he was a kid. So both kids, I think, have the trauma of all this, you know, notoriety and like weird fucking, why are you 10 years old and people want to, you know, be all up in your business.
Yeah.
Where are you going to go from that?
Yeah, that's tough. And I think they both have had considerable drug problems. So
Well, they go on these shows. They go on these shows like
Nick was in rehab, right?
Was he?
They go on Dr. Phil or The Doctors and this guy. Let me tell you something. If you're a guest on those shows and you're not a doctor yourself, you're the problem.
sure.
They didn't go, I want Aaron's take on today's news. But no, they go to describe how to ship properly on these shows. And then Tuesday, we got you in. Think it through. Aaron says, look in your heart and lead from a place of love.
That's nice. Boy. Thanks, Aaron.
I'm astounded at the accusations, he says a second later, being made against me. And I do not wish harm to anyone, especially my family. He had to put it in order. This is obviously a chess game of some sort. Wow. It's its own tweet.
Oh, a chess game of some sort.
It's everything's so deep and clever.
That's scary.
No, I'd rather you didn't kill my pregnant wife and the kid. That's what I'd rather.
Interesting move.
But you're bringing the rook out right away. Okay.
Oh, boy.
All I ask for is my family to leave me alone. This is blood.
Honestly, when people say all I ask for, I'm out. I am out. This is not your only request. It never was your only request.
Yeah, I can't even read all these tweets. Just, I asked for one thing.
One thing.
One of 6,000.
Yeah.
This is blood, not love. I will never be around you, and I don't want to be around you. I am the one who said, I'm done with you. I'm done. Then you send me this. So he's saying, I'm done.
I'm done.
You're sending a restraining order. I was first. You're done. I'm not done. You're done.
Yeah.
We're not seeing each other because of me.
Can't fire me, I quit.
Right. Okay. Stop trying to get me 51-50.
What is that?
It means you're crazy. You go into a mental institution. I know it from a Van Halen album. It's funny when the crazy people know all the numbers.
Oh, 5150. Yeah, all right.
Stop trying to get me 5150 before I file a harassment suit myself. Nick, I have the dollar sign. I have the money. I can't let anyone take my life from me. And what I've gone through is insane. And I'm a survivor. And I know that. It's my job to be okay. Just watch what I do in my life next. And there's many, many more.
Mm. It's just a PSA. Take your meds.
Yes.
Because they do help. And yes. I'm sure it fucking sucks to be on that. Because then you're like, I'm fine. And also, I don't want to be on lithium.
Yeah.
And then you're manic again.
He had another sister, Leslie, died when he was 16 from huffing aerosols and duster cans. Aaron got an addiction to that.
You can die from that?
He's saying it's from her. Like, she showed her at him how to do it.
Well, that's sad.
Right.
Damn. I didn't know you could die from that.
So funny. Did you just go over all the times you did that in your head?
I don't think I've ever huffed computer dust. I would have done it if it was available. I didn't really do drugs when I was little. I was a very straight edge kid.
Just beer?
No, not even. I didn't start drinking until I was like 21. We moved around a lot, so I didn't like get involved with any of the cool kids. I didn't get a chance to like go to parties and stuff. I would just have like one friend. We'd hang out. I didn't even smoke weed until I was older. I remember we had like I'd drink like a 2 liter of Coke, and when there'd be a lot, I'd like shake it up and then suck out the CO2, so I'd get you like weird for a second. That's like the only thing I did. Yeah. But I didn't drink until like college, really. Yeah, I never did anything weird, but I was a sweet little boy. And Courtney was the opposite. She started drinking when she was like 13, so we have very opposite childhood.
Yeah, caught up to each other.
We caught up. Now we're together.
This is a funny nature or nurture. Isn't it funny?
It is fun.
When did you start drinking?
In the Army.
Okay, but so that's like 20 you were in the Army?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember going to a bar regularly in the Army, and then I bragged and thinking I'd get a free drink showing the idea that I just turned 21.
Yeah.
Like, you're lucky I don't knock you out, but okay. Hilarious. Happy birthday, you asshole.
You're a wild boy.
I'm reading a story
did
here.
Did you like it right away?
Did I like beer? No. Yeah. No, I had to make myself like the taste.
Did you like, did you get drunk the first night you drank?
I don't know. No. Probably not. No, in fact, the very first time I drank, I would have been in my own apartment, maybe 18, and my friends came over and brought beer. They're the same age, and I hated it so much, I dumped it out in the kitchen so I didn't look like a puss.
Yeah, the flavor is great. I remember the first time drinking, it was fucking disgusting.
And then in the Army, I'm like, all right, I want to get numb tonight. Let me force it. And then I legitimately liked the taste.
On the first sip, like your taste buds changed?
No, not just after time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you get drunk that first night at the bar? In the Army, I mean?
Most likely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't remember your first drunk?
No, that's the point. But I don't know. I don't remember.
No, I don't know. A lot of people remember. Casey, you remember?
I remember. Yeah, I was in the woods.
I saw you. I was dropping my porn off that I was
done
with.
Oh, that was you. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of guys dropping porn off. Yeah, no, I was in the woods. This one, like, I drank a couple times. I didn't really drink those 21. I drank maybe like 2 or 3 times in my teens. So I think I was like 16. And I was drinking around a fire with a bunch of guys. And then I probably had like 3 beers. And I was like, this is the wildest night of my life. And we just wandered to a gas station and sat there. And I was like, this is awesome. And that was the first time.
So it clicked.
Not much
for
happened.
You.
Yeah, it clicked. But then I didn't drink again for a long time.
Andrew wrote, and it was the best thing ever. I remember drinking and it being like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Gee, Andrea, sober much?
How about that?
But I listened to some AA stuff online where they do like an hour long of like what it was like and what they went through and what it's like now. Right. And hearing people's first drunk is really interesting because they have like, you know, different responses. But a lot of the responses is, you know, I took it back. It tasted like shit. And then I was like, glory be, I found mother. Like it was just so it's interesting, like the people who it sticks to right away, or somebody gets fucked up, hates it, or like their parents, you know, have been doing it, but the thing like comes into play after a while where it's just like, eventually I liked it, it was the greatest thing ever, I don't know how to stop.
Right.
Yeah,
I remember, because you can bring, it was like dorm type place that I lived in. And you can bring beer in there if you were of age. And I remember thinking, like, I can't believe we can do this.
Yeah.
You know, you still felt kid-like.
Well, you're both, like, country people, yeah. right? And yeah, I feel like that's people. Part of
it. That's the nicest way to put
it. We appreciate it. B's kind of like a P. Hillbilly. You quickly switched it up. Thank you. Hillbillies.
Well, because in my childhood, I was raised here. So in my childhood, yes. there was like, I was allowed to go at age whatever to the bar, to the club. So it was around me all the time. I feel like you guys had to discover it.
Yeah, it seems like New York kid. They're like, yeah, I was addicted to coke by the time I was 14. Mm-hmm. And then I got sober by the time I was 19. It's like, holy shit. Yeah. Everyone, you go through things a lot faster. For sure.
Here in New York, first base is swallowing.
Very sexy.
Here in New York, a man had his 5-year-old daughter jumped in front of a train.
Oh, no.
Threw the baby, then he jumped. The baby survived. He did not.
He threw the baby?
He threw the baby.
Wait, so the girl jumped by accident?
She was forced to be thrown, yes.
She was forced to be thrown? What is this? Legalese? She was forced to be thrown.
I wouldn't say she jumped.
So he threw her?
Yes.
Wait. I'm sorry.
Okay.
On the train, you're standing there with your child. Mm-hmm. The child goes, la, 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 and falls into the track, or he threw her into the track?
So he threw her. Wow.
And she made it?
And she lived.
How?
A person pulled, let's see, he took the 5-year-old daughter with him when he jumped to his death in front of a Bronx subway train. By the way, he happened to say to his wife, the last thing he said was, goodbye, take care of the kids. That's what these crazy people do. They give advice.
Yes.
Like, let me just tell you, sometimes it's going to get hard and always take care. Yeah, of course I'll take care of the kids. I know, but you know, I know how you end up at your wit's end. And anyway, see you never.
See you never. Damn, somebody pulled the kid up?
Yeah. So the daughter miraculously survived their ordeal with minor injuries.
With minor brain trauma. What?
Yeah,
That's a lot of trauma you got to get through. Let's see. The daughter didn't even have any fractures or anything, so that's good.
I don't understand. He jumped with her? What's happening? He jumped with her. So
I feel like he doesn't
in his arms. Oh!
I have it all. It right here. See these papers?
No, nobody sees them but
you. You and Julia doing iPhone things back. I have it right here.
So he threw the kid and then he jumped down. Somebody pulled the kid up and he stayed down. That's what that's what I'm seeing.
What happened,
Keith? In my head.
No, this is fun. You guys keep guessing.
Well, you said like 5 different things.
No, I didn't. I said he threw her, and then he jumped.
Yes.
That's what I said.
There we go.
Okay, Julia saying she had
it. I have the papers!
Oh, my God.
By the way, her head is ready to fall the fuck out. She's like, how do I jump in? You are, Julia. You are jumping in.
But I have the right answer.
All right. So,
okay, let's hear about this.
Okay. According to a union.
Allegedly.
Right. According to a union official, the train's operator saw the girl first, and then the father follow her off the platform.
Julia.
The father follow her.
So the train conductor definitely saw one thing first, and that was a daughter.
So he threw
her. Then saw him. So he threw her.
Okay, then what?
It's still not clear to the operator exactly what happened. The first thing he saw was the girl in the air. Then the father jumped off the platform after her.
Mm-hmm. And there was a train coming, or we don't know?
Looks like a train was coming, yes. Another neighbor said she wondered why the man was even at the station because the girl's daycare provider was right down the street. So he just wanted to end them both.
Well, that's tough.
But I thought he said take care of the kids, but he was taking
care of the other one.
The other ones. This one
we're good with.
Yeah, like, this one. I got this one. You take care of
that. Yeah, I'll take care of this.
The girl didn't seem to know what happened. That was deliberate, saying that they both fell onto the tracks.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that's...
This is
Do you let her keep thinking that, I guess, for quite some time?
I let her keep thinking whatever she wants with candy.
Jesus Christ. A lot of candy, a lot of ice cream for this kid.
Where'd dad go?
Oh my God. Well, this has been a very depressing episode. This murder.
He really knows how to bring it in. Yeah.
Have you been seeing Justin Trudeau, the leader of Canada?
Mm-hmm, I did see that.
This guy. A lot of pictures coming out of him in blackface back in the day.
He said it was brown face.
Yeah.
Said it was pretty dark.
It's pretty dark. Brown face. Can you call it that now? Is that the
thing? That's what I read in the story, because he was dressing up to be, it was like an Arabian Nights party?
One was Aladdin, but they have at least three pictures now of different parties.
So it was different ethnicities, and he was at the store going like, this brown.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
What color are them Arabs?
Yeah. Yeah, so what's going on with that?
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who's in the fight for re-election, wore brown face while dressed as an Aladdin character in a 2001 event at his private high school that he was teaching at. He's 47 now. I shouldn't have done it. I should have known better, but I didn't. And I'm really sorry. So he didn't say thank you. Mm. Thank you for this opportunity to learn. Mm-hmm. He knew to at least say I'm sorry. He said it was racist to do. Added that he darkened the face with makeup once before when he was in high school and performed the Jamaican folk song Deo.
Oh, boy.
The banana boat song in a talent show.
Mm.
So, yes, I don't think he necessarily looked at the different browns and blacks to play different characters.
How old was he the oldest time he did it?
That was in college.
It was in college. Yeah, no, it's terrible. I feel like maybe when I was younger, I didn't know that was a racist thing to do. I saw people do it, and I didn't know it was like...
When I was in the country, I didn't know how bad it was.
I didn't know it was terrible until I got older and like learned. So, right. You know, maybe didn't know.
Did he try the defense of you guys enslaved them, we didn't?
Right. Mm. Well, Canada had slaves, so, you know... You
can't I know my history, so... Okay.
But it doesn't seem to be, the racial tension in Canada doesn't seem to be as cutting... As it is here.
Because they know how to say sorry.
They know how to say sorry.
We're promising sorry. Land and mules and not doing anything.
I love a mule.
I'm going to be asking Canadians to forgive me for what I did. The photo, the Aladdin one, appeared in the West Point Gray Academy's yearbook that year.
You got these people making yearbooks got to make some tougher cuts. They're like, let's not put.
But I also think that shows how much of a not big deal it was.
Yeah, that nobody really thought it was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, it doesn't make it right, but I think now people going like, I should have known better. And it's like, nobody told you.
Yeah, yeah.
Time magazine obtained the image from a businessman who was part of the school community. The image emerged in the dead heat election. There's an election going on right now. I believe they vote in October.
Mm-hmm.
You have his Liberal Party against the Conservative Party. So the Conservative Party unearthed another picture. Oh, you have another picture that you're willing to admit to? Mm-hmm. Then there's probably more than one. Mm-hmm. Now we're up to three.
I believe that he'll be fine because I believe that he's already made a lot of changes that I think Canadians, yes or no, have been no. They don't like him. We just like him because we fall for Canadian shit.
Oh, really?
All right. We have the Canadian in the house, Andrea Allen, and okay. I was wrong.
I know that his real dad is Fidel Castro. Do you know about that?
Mm, no.
Oh, his mom was like a big party. She was like, she fucked all the Rolling Stones. She fucked one of the princes from England. She fucked Fidel Castro, apparently. Because she was like 30 years younger than his father, who was also prime minister.
What?
And so the rumor is that his real dad's Fidel Castro. If you look at pictures of them when they're younger, they look exactly alike.
I think this is a rumor.
Look, I swear to God, look it up.
It's not a rumor, Andrew.
It's not a rumor. See, it's true.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, see?
What?
It's a wild... She was like a wild... She was hanging out with the Rolling Stones when they did a show up
there. Well, that's not the wrong thing to do.
And they're like, what are you guys doing with Maggie Trudeau? And the drummer's like, let's just say I wouldn't leave my wife around us. That's all he said. That's all he said to the press. So she's a wild lady.
What?
Yeah. Look it up. I'm telling you, it's all true. Smart guy.
They just add this story to that story. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam faced a scandal earlier this year. When a high school yearbook photo of a man alleged to be him wearing blackface and a Ku Klux Klan outfit surfaced.
That is different. We definitely know the history of that.
That's quite different. That's very clear.
Wow.
Northam, at first, if you recall, admitted to being in the photo, then later said he didn't believe he was in the photo. He refused to resign. He still has his job. He took a page from Trump's playbook. Wait a minute. Just because it's a picture?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it says zero words.
Wait, he's wearing... He's wearing blackface and Ku Klux Klan. So he's mixing both?
I think he had the blackface. His friend has his the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay, so you know what you're doing there. And that's,
you probably
all right, that's not a mistake.
Wow. Boy, Jeez we were Louise. Really easy to semi-forgive that blackface before the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not comfortable with the level of comfort we just had with all of this.
No, but yes. that was the Virginian. That was in Virginia.
Yeah.
Unrelated to that is Justin being by himself in blackface or not next to a KKK member, I mean. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
A third instance of
Keep up with these racists. Okay.
It's hard. They're wily.
A third instance of Justin Trudeau in blackface emerged. A younger Trudeau appeared in a video wearing the makeup. So now it's a video.
A video?
Wearing the makeup, ripped jeans, a t-shirt sticking out of his tongue, laughing.
Oh my God, laughing.
He's enjoying it.
No, Justin.
It's not even somber.
No, you got to be putting on blackface. You got to be somber in your blackface,
right. Justin. What I did hurt them, he said. I deeply, deeply regret it.
Don't call them.
Darkening your face, regardless of the context of the circumstances, is always unacceptable because of the racist history of blackface. I should have understood it then, and I never should have done it. But again, I went to a private school. We didn't learn a lot of black history.
It's wild. I don't.
And how many other times he's appeared in blackface? Trudeau stopped short of providing a number. I don't fucking know anymore. Several, you guys know. Just you tell me.
Several thousand.
Is it seven?
I saw a comic doing an impression of George Lopez. And they were Hispanic, but they darkened their face to look more like him. And the crowd was just sitting there like, I don't know. Yeah. They're like, what? The crowd was very confused about whether they should be upset or not. Right. A lot of them were.
I'm wary of becoming definitive about the number of pictures that came out that I had not remembered. I'm very, very dumb.
I'm very, very dumb.
And the question is, how can you not remember that? Well, the fact is, I didn't understand how hurtful this is to people who live with discrimination every single day.
This is Trudeau talking?
Yeah.
So, what? You countless amount? What? Wait, yeah. What?
It sounds to me like you know where the shoe polish is at all times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is your thing. You do that more than once. Like, you dress up as a nurse, then a doctor, then, like, you're into medical shit for Halloween.
Right.
Yeah. So you start putting blackface on more than once, more than twice. I can't count?
It's tough. My girlfriend says, I don't know how many times I was a sexy devil. Could be more than once.
I was in West Side Story when I was in high school, and I was one of the, you know, the Puerto Rican games at the Sharks. I think it's the Sharks. And they made me darker, but I didn't know. I was a kid, and they dyed my hair black, but it came out like orange. And so I was just like, I was orange with orange hair, and I was a fat little boy dancing around.
So
like
you
a,
were Trump.
I looked like Trump, and I couldn't snap either. So I was like, I was so scared someone would find out. I was like, they'd be like, wait a minute, somebody's not really snapping. Because I was just pretending.
To snap your fingers.
Yeah. So the whole thing was wrong.
Your teachers did that?
Yeah, no. They put us in makeup. I didn't do it myself.
So everyone had Puerto Rican face?
Everybody on the... Yeah, there's just no Puerto Rican kids in my school. Everyone was white. So everybody everybody was dark.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't do it myself. If any pictures come up, it wasn't me, folks.
Like in a Halloween store.
I was just a boy.
Does a teacher like bring a Puerto Rican with her? And she's like trying to match the color on his arm?
I don't think you could find a Puerto Rican for about 100 miles where I come from. Wow. Not my choice, folks. I would love to have him around. I wish there was more diversity. Casey, anyway, I'm going to head out. This is getting dicey.
Trudeau, son of the late former Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, added, I've always acknowledged that I come from a place of privilege, but now I need to acknowledge that that comes with a massive blind spot.
Yawn.
He said he never brought up his blackface past during the vetting process when he successfully ran for prime minister in 2015. I never talked about this. Quite frankly, I was embarrassed.
It was not. Why would he bring it up?
Yeah. Well, he would bring it up to his teammates. Mm. You know, I've seen enough West Wing. They sit you down and they go, well, they're going to find out everything. Tell me now so I get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And he should have told the people on his team. He should have trusted them.
Yeah, but he already got elected and nobody found it. So I imagine he's like, well, they didn't find it before. Mm.
I never talked about this. Quite frankly, I was embarrassed. It was not something that represents the person I've become, the leader I tried to be. And it was really embarrassing. There you go. And again, the election's coming up, so we'll see if it matters.
We'll see.
Wow. Andrea, are you allowed to vote?
Oh, in Canada?
Yeah. Right. She's like really against this dude. Am I right? Really? Or am I making that up?
I'm not against him. It's just like when he got elected, everyone's like, he's so handsome. Oh, my God. And he is. But like, I'm learning every time I go back to Canada, there's some like Trudeau bungle that he fucked up in like a really... just inexperienced way. Like, he seems privileged in the fact that he's inexperienced too. Like, his father was this huge political figure and he is making all these mistakes, it seems, that are very, very like, you should know better than this. You come from this family system. Why do you not like know? Like,
but is he, I mean, there's, and I don't know that much about it, but it seems like Canada's gotten some good stuff while he's there.
He legalized weed. People are into that.
I wasn't going to mention that because it's the only thing I knew. And I didn't want to be.
He's done some good stuff, some green stuff. He's from the Green Party. Yeah.
I think he did good work. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. You're good. You're the best in the biz.
Thank you.
But he also, like, there was some, there's, he's, his family is very affluent and he was doing some shady dealings with, like, and I'm botching sort of the specifics of this, but another like affluent group of people who were doing like a mining deal in a third world country that was very, very like nepotism and not in the Canadian code of ethics. And a female cabinet member like called him out on it and refused to back down, and everyone kind of like turned on her, and it seems like he wants to be this liberal sort of shining beacon, but none of his behavior really matches that, and people are starting to understand this. Like this blackface thing seems like another Justin Trudeau. Like,
do you think they pick a conservative over him?
It seems like they pick this liberal because they want liberal politics, mm-hmm. but he doesn't seem to understand what he's doing. Like, he's not doing a good job economically either. Like, it seems like he seems green, not green in your way, but green in too many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, like green to not understand this blackface stuff, green to not understand it's not a good look to turn against a female cabinet member who's trying to expose your corruption, green in your economic policies. Like, I think he's very much just like a child of privilege, and Canadians are not impressed with
it.
You
can still vote, right? Are you there when the voting happens?
I can technically, but I think it would be like absentee at this point.
Would you vote for him?
I would have to know more about Canadian politics because it doesn't affect me. I don't live there. But
well, the person running on the conservative side, they're saying, do you have any blackface pictures? And he said, yeah, but I don't know better. Yeah. That's the difference with our party.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Trudeau, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you found another one? Me so sorry. Here's 10.
So sorry.
Yeah. I think I didn't know the history of blackface until I moved to the United States, because we don't have that particular racist piece of history, but we do have racist stuff. Like, our him doing brownface makes sense because our minority groups are Indian and from Asian descent. Like, those are the people that we shit on. So that makes sense that as a privileged white person, that is the group that we would make fun of. It's not like he's better than.
So he's the equivalent. It's the equivalent of blackface. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not excusing it, but it's like, it's not American brand racism. It's Canadian brand racism. Mm-hmm. And you know, people used to, in my high schools, there would be parties where it's like, you're listening to rap and everyone's wearing chains and you know, like, there's appropriation, but it's just the racial tension in Canada is not like the United States. It's different, yeah.
Is the Conservative Party, the right-wing party for us, is that taking over all around the world? Obviously now in England, Canada looks like this is going to be a fight. Is this somehow taking hold everywhere?
I think it's always been around. I think we just have social media and like cameras and like more visibility into the fact that it's everywhere. I think conservatism and fear mongering and stuff is all throughout our history.
But I just mean it's taken hold now, it seems.
I don't know. I feel like it goes kind of back and forth here.
But the whole world is on this fourth right now, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like.
As things get worse, people revert to conservative thinking because it's more like, we can control this. We can build a wall. We can do this. We can keep the bad out and everything's going to be okay. I think it's a reflection of like our poor economics, our environmental crises. Like, I think people revert to fear when they feel threatened, and conservatism definitely plays more into fear than otherwise.
Well said. Here, here.
Great job. Thank you so much.
So
Alan Trudeau, 20, whatever the fuck.
Are there any blackface pictures of you out there?
You know, I did think about this because I was like, did I go through my Facebook? Did I do an Indian dance party somewhere?
Right. You were probably in Canadian plays, right?
I did. Marilyn Manson has an album cover where he dresses up like Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
He calls himself Death Mickey. Mm-hmm. And I dressed up like Marilyn Manson for a Halloween. I have the mouse ears on, but the Death Mickey, I didn't know that the Death Mickey is a reference to blackface. I didn't even know what blackface was. Yeah, and so there's a picture of me with a black face, white eyes, and Mickey Mouse ears. But I'm like, oh, time to fucking delete that shit. You know?
You're canceled, bud.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm canceling myself, but I didn't. Marilyn Manson is American. That's a reference to an American thing. And
back in my day, you could just slap paint on your face without thinking about it.
Yeah. Slather yourself up.
Now you got to Google.
Yeah.
Can I be red today? Oh, good luck. Another group.
I'm looking at the Marilyn Manson thing. He's got like two versions of it. One where he is like, it's like all black on his face, not just like that circular thing. It goes like all the way. And there's one where just his lips are exaggerated in black and the rest of his face is just his white
face. Yeah, it's not like blackface, but it's definitely like my face is painted black and, you know.
Yeah, that's always tricky. There's this wrestler named Finn Balor, and sometimes he'll paint his face. He becomes this character called the Demon. So he paints it to kind of look like Venom, you know?
Yeah.
And black like, and white, right? Cool. So it's like black and white. But then we have like one black friend who's there in our wrestling group, and he's like, "That's blackface. You shouldn't be doing that." And everyone's like, "No, he's trying to look like Venom." So there's always like a big, I wake up like 30 texts of like people arguing about blackface in wrestling. It's very confusing. Yeah.
I go, "No, he's just pretending to be the bad guy.
He's a bad guy. He's a bad black guy.
Is it this guy?
Yeah. But the makeup varies. So sometimes it's like."
That doesn't
more
look
black.
Like blackface at all.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
that
confusing.
Looks like mean clown in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the argument. So nobody, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very tricky.
All right. Well, Andrea, thank you very much.
Yes, thanks for coming.
And when you go back, tell Julia the kid was thrown in never to correct me again. Thank you.
I will silence her. Keith Malley.
Bless you.
You're welcome.
Bless your heart.
I'm reading a story about Sandusky, Ohio, first of all.
Oh, my God. Boy. I thought you were going to get him. I was like, geez, another depressing story.
Yeah.
Hey. Before the show, Casey was like, are you guys still with your boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yeah,
we're like, yeah, thanks for asking. But he's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Then he always
we always give him bad news when he's on here.
Yeah, what's going on? My fucking mom's dead? What's going on?
Yeah, we're fine.
We're
fine.
Have a seat. Oh, my God.
Sandusky, Ohio. Well, I'm from Weinstein, Pennsylvania. I mean, poor people. Anyway, Sandusky, Ohio has voted to make Election Day a city holiday in place of Columbus Day.
That's great.
Oh, much better.
That's lovely. That's a nice story.
Oh, that's never going
to
happen.
They declare, well, if the voting passed, and you can do it city by city if you wanted to. They declared Election Day a paid holiday by swapping out Columbus Day. At first, people weren't into it because they'd rather have their three-day weekend. And then, a couple, commercials settles them down and goes, maybe this is more important. And they go, okay.
That's
great. That's great.
But yeah, you should be off on Election Day, so there's no excuses.
It would help if you got an extra day since fucking everyone works hard.
Yeah, it's crazy. You just got a weasel in there for you've got like an hour. It's miserable.
Right. To me, I like it though because it's like, lines, you know.
You love lines.
No, I pretend there's lines.
Oh, so you don't have to go.
No, I go and then I don't show back up to work.
Oh, great. I see. All right.
Trying to make the world a better place.
Good for you, Kid Hero.
Thank you. Let's see. After that, it was just a matter of changing the legislation that governs observed holidays. We did that with an emergency vote that took place and was passed unanimously on first reading at our last meeting, says somebody. And ultimately, we have gotten very little pushback about it. So there you go. So it's possible. We don't have to wait necessarily for states or the federal government to make this change, but that ultimately cities can do it in a case-by-case basis. It's possible.
What a story. I think you should get Columbus Day off, too. I think more days off. We should have not work. Nobody should work.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Can we have a day off, but we don't got to think about shit?
I know.
Let's always think about shit. And you can have today off, but think about how hard you work.
You have to take this mask.
That's what you have to do today. Today? Like day off. Okay. Think about the dead and that they lived and fought in wars. So you can do whatever you want and have a day off.
Yeah, it ain't
so
right, man.
Think about if you're
enjoy doing, your picnic.
If you're, did you do today right?
Yeah.
These people died for you. Think about it.
Did you think about your dead uncle and your shotgunning a white claw in a pool?
Right. You have today off.
Yes.
But think about Christ the Savior being tortured.
I think about him every day, baby.
All right. Casey, you can follow online, Twitter, and Instagram at CaseyJSolengo. The podcast on Instagram is Good Dad and Ugly Pod. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the podcast is The Good, The Dad, and the Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to my episode.
She was great. Thanks for coming out.
How do you feel when Henda's a guest and she obviously takes over?
She was the best. No, it's great. She didn't take over, but I do like it when people hop in and are like ready to go already, because sometimes we just run out of stuff to talk about and we get bored talking to each other. So I love it when somebody's an experienced podcaster and like just goes with it.
They were like, you were married. I was like, and I'm divorced now and here's what happened.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Sometimes you'll get like someone who's a little more sheepish and I get it because I can get like that on podcasts, but it's great when they're just like, someone will just dive in with fucked up stories. Like, oh, yes. All right. Hell yeah. That's the best. Yeah.
I've been talking so much, like just in general, that I forget how fucked up my stories sound. And so I'm like, good, Dad, and the Ugly. They say fucked up shit all the time. Or Mara Marek's, you know, Unhappily Ever After. I'm like, I'm not going to shock these motherfuckers. And then everyone's jaws are on the ground. I'm like, oh, yeah, this did suck when it first happened.
Your stories were fucking fucked up, and I loved it. It was so cool.
That's great to hear. Thank you.
That's great.
Well, congratulations again on your engagement.
Thank you.
Nobody in this room, including Larry King, can make it work, but maybe you can, right?
Unbelievable.
We know how to communicate for a living and can't make it work. You guys would be great. I'm a fucking mumble buddies.
Well, thanks for having me, Keith. Oh, it's a nice ending. Just bring up racism and murder, and then tell me my marriage isn't going to work. Well, it took me like an hour and a half to get here.
We'll leave on a fun story. This is a story.
Another story?
This is a story about Woody Allen, Florida. This
God
city.
Damn it.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thanks for spreading the word, and we'll talk to you soon.
Share the show. KeithandTheGirl.com